Welcome back, everybody, to the Classroom 33 podcast. Pastor Dustin here with Steve Prudian. And what we discussed last week is actually carrying over into this week. So we've got a bit of a free week here, Steve. What do you want to talk about this week?
Well, you know we're in the book of Job.
Yes.
And some people think that Job is a made-up story. Some people think that it is historically true. But there is one common thing that runs, whether it's a made-up story or whether it's true. It's really a story about a man who suffers. It's about suffering. And all men will suffer. Did you know that there's a common theme with Job and Jesus, besides both their names start with J?
I do, but for our listeners, why don't you explain it?
Well, Job was a righteous man, even declared so by God.
Yes.
But yet, at no fault of Job's doing, Satan was allowed to attack him, and he suffered.
That's
Jesus,
true.
We know, is sinless. And we know that he's righteous because he is the Son of God. But yet, the same Satan also made Jesus suffer. The difference with Jesus is Jesus was suffering for our sins.
Correct.
So today I'd like to talk about how suffering plays into the book of Job. One of the things that a lot of people know about is the verse that says, when I am weak, then he is strong. Well, the reality is it takes a strong man to actually admit his weaknesses.
It does.
Many of us, when we suffer, do not want to have exposure. We'd rather suffer in silence. We would rather have people not think less of us because of the fact that we are suffering. But there is not a soul alive who is born on the face of this earth who will not face some suffering, because it is just a condition of mankind. And it's because of the condition of mankind that we actually need and should appreciate a Savior.
Right. Absolutely right. Okay. Well, we've got a good list of topics to go through. Let's start with life. Steve, tell me about life on our list.
I'm going to tell you about life, but I'm going to tell you about something before life.
Okay.
Years ago, I had a friend who was a soloist in a large church. And he would always start, no matter what the music was, he would always start with the same theme song. You know, some shows have theme songs.
Mm-hmm.
This music soloist always had the same theme song before he would lead the congregation into worship. And I thought it very strange.
Okay.
But I was reminded that without remembering this theme song, we forget value of our relationship. The theme song was actually written by Andre Crouch. And the chorus is, the name of the song is Through It All.
Okay.
And the chorus on that really is the crux of the song. And it's this, it goes like this. It goes, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God because of his word. And suffering does that.
Hmm.
You trust out of need, and suffering does that. Now we can talk about life, Dustin.
All right. Well, tell me about life then.
Well, it's very simple. Jesus said we're supposed to expect trials and tribulations. But he is also the same one who said, but I have overcome. And so our overcoming is not in ourselves. Our overcoming is in Jesus Christ.
Amen to that. And now, I want to hear what you have to say about hope.
Well, we have to go back to Jesus. It's amazing that we're in the book of Job, which is pre-Jesus.
Very pre-Jesus. Well, sort of.
However, in the beginning was the Word, before anything else was created. So Jesus was there, but he wasn't called Jesus then.
Right.
Okay. Well, Jesus is our great Savior. And it's interesting that in David's Psalm, we find the Savior, okay, that takes us to the valleys. And we look at the valleys as being the trouble, but we fail sometimes to look at what our Savior does. And our Savior, what he does is he anoints our head, because he knows that we're suffering and we're scared, and that the only hope we have is not in ourselves, but in our Savior, which is Jesus Christ. That's him.
Mm-hmm. That's really very true. And I am going to sidebar for a second, because I've been studying in Jonah, and it's pretty amazing. These first two, this life and hope, you know, Jonah was sent to do a pretty easy job, but he didn't want the suffering that might come, because Nineveh was a wicked city, so he went the opposite direction. And he ends up in a pretty significant trial. And it's through that trial that he realizes that the people of Nineveh, who don't know God, have no real hope. And it's then that his heart is softened, and he decides to trust God. So this is a pretty persistent theme throughout the Bible.
Yes, it is. Some people don't know the fact of why Jonah, who was a successful prophet of God, hesitated at this particular request of God on Jonah's life. The answer is Jonah hated the Ninevites.
Yes, he did.
And he hated the Ninevites because it was a Ninevite raiding party that actually killed his father.
Okay.
So there was actually hatred and animosity towards the Ninevites, and the last thing he wanted to do was to offer them mercy.
So that kind of... And that kind of hatred is usually bred through listening to lies of our enemies. So the next one on our list is Satan. So tell me about Satan in our story here. Back to Job.
Do you think there would be suffering if there was no Satan?
No.
Why?
Well, before Satan enters the story in Genesis, there's no talk of suffering. And when you talk about the end times, when there's the new heaven and the new earth, and Satan's locked up forever, there's no suffering. And that's stated explicitly.
It's interesting. Satan begins with the letter S, synonymous with suffering. That begins with the letter S.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think of Satan, now you'll know the cause of your suffering, some of the times.
Right.
Some of the times, we are basically our own worst enemy. We become our own Satan, and subsequently we suffer for it. I find that Satan, he's actually the separator. He actually challenges our faith, even if we're Christians.
Mm-hmm.
But with Jesus, we find that there's nothing can separate us from his love. That doesn't mean we don't suffer, but the thing is that we have to understand that he's the one who overcame, and we're riding on what he's done, which leads us to our salvation, which allows us to overcome. Did you realize that a lot of people do not know this? But as they grow older, they suffer more. But as they grow older, if they have a relationship with Jesus Christ, they're actually getting younger. Because there'll come a time when they will see Jesus face to face, and they won't be old anymore, nor will they be suffering any longer.
Right. It's a good way to look at it. All right, so help us to set some expectations.
Well, in 1 Corinthians 2:9, the expectation is this. No eye has seen, or ear heard, or mind imagined what Jesus has for you, because he loves for you. You can't even imagine what Jesus has for you. So, the reality is that our suffering, as serious as it may be, and they are somewhat serious in many cases, and they make no sense, but because our lives are short, our suffering is brief.
That's very true. That's very true. And ultimately, it is for God's glory.
Yes, it is for God's glory. Do you know what? That you will experience glory in the heavenly kingdom.
We will.
Yes, you will. Because eternity is pure joy, and that's glorious. In fact, in Revelation 21:4 and Psalm 35, and also in Romans 8:18, they all say the same thing. The suffering has to give place to joy. Oftentimes, I think that some of the most joyous people that I meet shouldn't have joy at all, because of the fact that you know they're going through suffering, but yet they're not going through suffering alone, because Jesus is walking with them. And you know what? It makes a difference. You can see it in their face, even though you know that they have days of hardship.
Yeah, I've known a few people like that, and they, you know, based on the world's definitions of things and the way the world looks at things, they have every reason to be cranky and upset and unhappy, and they're just not. Some people are just constantly optimistic, and they know Jesus, and they seek him every day, and even through their suffering, and it's pretty amazing. It is pretty amazing.
Well, you know what? The fact is that we're called to testify of the hope that is within us. And the reality is that nobody will ask us about why we can be up when we should be down. And the answer is, it's because Jesus is up, and he's the one who keeps us up when we're down.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he is. And that gives us something to anticipate.
Yes, it does. In fact, we're supposed to look to heaven from where our help comes from. Our help does not come from Satan.
Doesn't.
No. Okay, he's not in the realm of helping God's creation. He's in the realm of inflicting pain upon God by inflicting pain upon God's creation. There is a portion in the Bible, I believe it's in Psalms, it says, where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord. So we're supposed to look ahead at all of Jesus' promises. And we're to be an example of sufferings to point to the goodness of God.
Yes, we are. There's a song, it's a few years old now, by We Are Messengers, where they talk about being in the valley, and the benefit of being in the valley is there's nowhere to look but up. You have to look up. When you're on the mountaintop, it gets easy to look down, but when you're in the valley, there's nowhere to look but up. So, yeah, I like that visual for that looking up to heaven and knowing that's where our help comes from. And then we have to give up.
Yeah, we do, and that's really hard, because some of us like to bathe in our wounds. and bathe in our suffering. But the reality is that you have to stop self-suffering. You have to stop self-pity. Now, that is an act of your will. You have to will that to be able to do that. However, you don't have to do that by yourself. You do have help. And that help comes from on high. It comes from Jesus. And we have to remember, in spite of our sufferings, and in spite of our shortfalls, that we're accepted by Jesus, we're forgiven by Jesus, and we have a promise from Him Himself that He never leaves us or forsake us, because He is our Savior. But He's also known as the man who suffered. He's also known as the man of sorrows. And the thing is that when you suffer, He's right along with you, and He suffers with you. And that's why He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So if you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, you have the part of Jesus that doesn't leave you and doesn't forsake you. He takes you through the valley. And Jesus loves you, and that's the most important thing to remember. Because when we're down and out, sometimes we don't think anybody loves us. But Jesus does love us. And we have to remember that our suffering is just for the night. It's just momentary. It's actually considered a light affliction compared to what Jesus has already suffered for us. But then, and you have to fill in your but then there's Jesus. And as long as you rely upon the but then there's Jesus, really, you have a great promise to cling to.
Yes, we do. Jesus is the ultimate promise. All right, Steve, we have exhausted our list. Do you want to give us a teaser of what's coming next week?
Well, actually, for this week, we're still going to be in the book of Job. And okay. We're going to be discussing a few questions that come out of the book of Job. And you'll have to come to class to be able to get into the dialogue of the question. It may be your chance to ask a question about things that have happened or are happening in your life to finally find an answer that maybe someone else who's been through it can help you with. Or perhaps there'll be scripture that can enlighten you to the situation or the problem or the concern that you have. The following week, I'm going to give a demonstration. And the demonstration is living on a vertical plane and also then living on a horizontal plane, doing both at the same time.
Okay. That sounds intriguing.
Yes, it is.
All right, Steve, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you, Dustin. It's a pleasure.